You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right.
All right. All right.
This is the final word. Emergency edition, emergency Glenn Maxwell edition of The Final Word. I know we just did an episode a day ago and we said, oh, look, the last one day, we'll do that next week. And then Glenn Maxwell happened and we couldn't wait. We couldn't wait till the weekend. We couldn't wait until next week. I've got Adam Collins on the phones, Jeff Lemon here. You're at a cricket match yourself, Adam, with a bunch of other people who were there last night.
Yeah, we're 105 for 6, chasing 153. Phil Walker, editor of Wisden Cricket Monthly, and I've just put on about somewhere between 70 and 80 odd, and now we've got some work to do. I think we'll win, but it's I think we've both been...
Were you inspired?
Yeah, I was going to say, some of the shots were, I think, inspired by the open starts and just trying to attack the short boundary, Jeff. Just trying to attack the short boundary. It was fucking exciting, though. Seriously, like, at 5 for 73, I think they were, and then Carey's out on 88, caught down at the third man, and Archer oversteps. Thanks, Jofra Archer. If Jofra Archer keeps his foot behind the line, we don't get anything that follows, probably, because Maxwell himself said it was hit and hope stuff from the moment he walked in, which I think is probably underplaying how clever he started. How often did he strike boundaries from the first or second ball of overs to sort of set up the over, which enabled them to sort of accumulate thereafter. So it was calculated hitting, I think I described it in my report, but it was so exciting. And I think the fact that he wasn't totally emotional about the whole thing, you know, in the past where Maxwell's made hundreds, it feels like it's the weight of the world's on his shoulders when he finally reaches the summit, and it comes out in his post-century interviews and press conference and so on. He was pretty chilled last night. He was very excited, obviously, but he didn't sort of come across as having that baggage, which I thought was pretty instructive considering where he's been over the last 12 months or so, missing that period of cricket and so on, and this of course being his first stint back in Australian colours. So all told, extremely exciting. I gather you stayed up till 6 a.m. watching it all.
It was one of those things where I was like, I'll just stay up a little bit, you know, I just wanted to watch, see how Warner does, you know, and then it goes on for a little while, and then they're sort of four down, and I'm thinking, well, Maxie's in next, so maybe I'll just, you know, and the wickets went down relatively quickly, and then there he was, and I thought, well, you know, obviously they're 5 for 70, they're not going to chase 300, someone will get out pretty soon, but I'll just wait until someone gets out, and then, you know, famous last words, on it went, and I was still there at 6:30 in the morning watching the post match. But I've never been happier to be awake at 6 a.m. Like, if you're a listener to the show, you'll know that Adam and I have been Maxwell enthusiasts from the beginning, really. And but to see the fullest expression of what he can do, like it was last night in what was an important game, in a decider against the recent world champions, you know, given that Australia's been smashed in England in one day as the last 3 years running. I was thinking about it because, you know, they got knocked out of the Champions Trophy, then they got whitewashed, then they got knocked out of the World Cup.
Yep, no, you're not wrong. And yeah, I think that's right. It's the full expression thing, isn't it? We occasionally see a flurry or, you know, a flourish in the Big Bash, which goes viral on, you know, on YouTube, and GIFs are made of some outlandish shots and so on. But often, you know, you're left wanting more, which is part of his charm, isn't it, really? But yeah, to see him go on with it and almost all the way to the finish line, I suppose he was a bit disappointed not to be there at the end and left Stark some work to do in the last over. But I think that just added to the thrilling chase that it was, that it came down to Stark in the final over, and it required a big decision from Owen Morgan, which he ultimately got wrong. Well, I say ultimately got wrong, it's easy to say that in hindsight, but you know, the fact that Curran and Wood both had overs in the bag and have both bowled excellent death overs as England 50 over players, it left a few questions later on. But nonetheless, the 202 run partnership, well, it's the biggest six-wicket partnership in a chase ever. So, you know, you talk about big sample sizes, there have been so many one-day internationals played, and in a chase against England, I think it was, sorry, actually, it wasn't the biggest ever. I think it's the third biggest ever for the sixth wicket when chasing. But, yeah, I mean, it was a historic achievement, so important for Alex Carey as well, his first century for Australia. After being in dire form, I mean, he was dropped from the T20 side this time last week for Matthew Wade, and no runs in this 50-over series probably would have meant that he was fighting for his place in the side, which seems crazy given how well he played in the World Cup last year. But had Maxwell, almost the perfect partner, really, because Carey, there was no pressure on him to find the boundary. Although he did, he didn't need to because Maxwell was doing that for him. So they complemented each other beautifully, really. And
he did. Carey did eventually. Yeah. I thought that for me, that was the part that was cleverest about that innings. So Maxwell came in facing Jofra Archer and hit his third ball for six. You know, it was half volley-ish pickup shot off the pads to that short side. And so he knew he had the short side to aim to, and he knew it was Archer. And it was just, I think it felt like a bit of a pushback against England to say, well, okay, it's 5 for 73, but you're not necessarily going to have it all your own way. And he went on to, you know, there were a couple more boundaries. He was well ahead of a strike rate of 100 early. And that meant that, because Carey was really battling, there's a point where Carey faced out a maiden from Tom Curran. Yeah. There was, he couldn't rotate the strike against Curran. He kept getting trapped in sequences of three or four dot balls in a row. But it wasn't disastrous because Maxwell was scoring quickly enough. And so that let Carey get back into the game eventually. And then Carey started picking up pace later on. But that was, you know, because he was able to not stress out too much because he had Maxwell there. So I thought that that balance was really important. Yeah. And then as it gets later in the innings, it's Carey sweeping and turning the strike over really consistently every time Maxwell's got the short side on his leg side, basically. So whoever had the leg side with the short boundary, they'd rotate the strike and let that player hit to the boundary.
I felt quite aggrieved when coming onto commentary at probably 5 for 80 odds, so just after Maxwell plays that shot, so 5 for 80 something, the shot off Archer to get him going, that he was coming in at 7. The first cut of my match report, which of course got Control-Alt-Deleted out of my life, was that, you know, how disappointing that Maxwell comes in when essentially the game looks all but over. But I suppose when you think about Australia's weakness, which has been lower middle order, Maxwell at 7 does bolster that part of the lineup, and they do like to go right hand, left hand. So if Mitch Marsh is going to get a sustained run in the team at number 5, then Maxwell will bat at number 7. He was asked about it a couple of times in the press conference last night, and he didn't seem to push back too much, whereas 18 months ago he was clearly pissed off about batting number 7. So you know, it seems as though that's the role he's going to have to play more often than not. So there won't be many opportunities for him to go on and make three figures. And I know it's been a sore point with him in the past about having made that limited overs 100 in the World Cup in 2015 and that column only having a one in it and not having... I mean, he's made it into the 90s 5 or 6 times, but never making it...
Four times in total. So in that's only in one day. He's got a lot of 90s in IPL and sort of T20 cricket and so on.
Yeah.
But a big feature of that is that all of those 90s have involved him getting out very late in the game, either trying to hit sixes or taking on risky runs. So, like, he's always done the team thing of saying that I'm not going to just take it easy and find a single and a two here to get to the 100. It's like if I'm on 96 and there's an over to go, I'm gonna keep going to try to hit a six because that's what the team needs.
Yeah, that's what I do. Exactly. So, no, that all stands to reason. And, yeah, I think that has been a bit of a sore point. Remember a couple of years ago when Justin Langer, you know, inaccurately in the end the way that he calculated it, but he threw that back at the critics, i.e. people like you and me, who were saying that Maxwell was hard done by. He was pointing at the centuries column. So, yeah, it has been a point of a point of friction historically. So the fact that he can add one to that, the sixth time that he's made 100 for Australia, of course, he's done it in all three formats, one of only two Australians to do that. It does, I mean, restart perhaps the argument that, and not that he will press for test selection or anything like that, but it restarts the conversation around him being such a fantastic player that it seems daft to rule him out of playing in all three formats. He's only 31 years old, maybe 30 still. I think he turns 31 later in the year. So he's got time on his side still if he is good enough to go back home this year. And he'll get opportunities in the Sheffield Shield because presumably he won't be inside those test bubbles. I doubt he will be. He wasn't in the test bubble, so to speak, last year when they played that practice match before the Ashes squad was selected. So presumably he'll get chances in the Sheffield Shield, which he hasn't historically had many of due to white ball cricket, when he gets back from the IPL, that is. And time will tell. But, yeah, it was just so great to see him so happy last night, really, in that press conference, that Zoom call that we do after play. And he was just elated. And, yeah, it wasn't sort of an emotional response, as I mentioned before. It was just kind of like joy. And after, as I mentioned earlier as well, that time he took out of the game back in, what was it, November, December last year, to think that, what are we now, 7 or 8 months or 9 or 10 months down the track, and he's feeling that good about his cricket, that's a wonderful thing for a player that, as you say, we've invested sort of so much time talking about over the years and arguing the case for and arguing the corner of, that he was able to really deliver on an important night and breaking that streak of wins for England in that format, the world champions, and leaving the tour, finishing the tour on the best possible note.
Well, after also being crucial in the first game, that first win, you know, 77 off 40-odd balls, or 59 balls maybe, in that first game. So, you know, two critical contributions to get those two wins. But, I mean, the thing that I really enjoyed about it was just that it was so fun. It was, I think, seeing the best of him as a player, in that it was attacking, but it was considered, you know, there was strategy to the attacking. Even the point when, this one really stood out to me, there was a ball that Adil Rashid bowled very wide outside the off stump, you know, looking to protect that short side, and Maxwell aimed a reverse sweep at it and missed it. And they were hopping into him on the TV commentary saying, why would he aim for that side of the field when it's the long side? But what it meant was the next ball, Rashid brought the line in closer to the stumps because he was worried about getting reverse swept, and Maxwell pops him over the leg side for six. So it was strategy even in a shot that didn't come off. And then there were those sort of absurd Maxwell moments, like falling over in front of his stumps and somehow getting a wristband on the ball that meant that he wasn't leg before wicket. You know, like there was the ridiculous and the sublime, as there should be in a true Maxwell ball experience.
We had Vish and Will were there last night in the press box. I think I'll go to Will first. So, Will, you weren't far away from the point where Maxwell put it up onto the balcony. What was the response like in the press box when you realised that Maxwell was on one?
Well, Vish and I just had our own little private box. It was the closest one to the point, and he'd been like peppering that boundary constantly. And then this one was like about 30 metres bigger than all of the other ones, and they were all enormous as well, and just sort of sailed in. And we were laughing by this point, because we've been saying at the halfway point that England hadn't actually used that short boundary very well. And Vish said to me, he's like, yeah, but you know, Maxwell, you will use that boundary well. And basically from the moment he came in, he was on about two when he first hit it over there. And it was just ridiculous, just relentless. And it was a lot of fun.
Vish?
You know, the phrase, you know, putting your cards on the table, I think it's from poker, where, you know, having, you know, you want to keep your hand quiet, he decided to like just lay it all out there, and it's often just, you know, a bit of a Hail Mary. Maxwell, he basically set up and he was just looking at the small boundary. It was almost kind of perpendicular to where the bowler was coming from, and he's just, I love that. There's no pretense to what he does. He's like, I'm going to hit you over there, and the next ball, I'm going to try and hit you over there. And he did, didn't he? It was remarkable. That incredible stat about how obviously it's only a second 1-day 100. They're 5 years apart, but they've probably played exactly the same way.
Yeah,
it's not like he's learned in those 5 years. Like, oh, now he's cracked it, because in between that have been, you know, various different cameos and a couple of decent 50s. But I mean, that was a game tailor made for him. And to be fair, only those two are winning it.
Yeah, you can't see. That's right. I mean, Mitchell Marsh plays a different kind of way. I mean, they even said after play about their relationship and that they had faith in each other. So when Carey wasn't able to tennis strike over early, Maxwell still had faith in him rather than kind of panicking.
Yeah. It kind of really came through. Carey's a confusing cricketer to me. He makes some really dumb decisions. I don't know how else to put it. You know, that ramp shot that I suppose he got away with because Archer overstepped his first no ball in ODI cricket. Was just a shot that wasn't on, and then he plays it again and gets out, doesn't he? But by then he's already scored 100 more runs. But I think Maxwell definitely helped him through that, and I suppose he'd help anyone through that. If you see a guy who's just going, you know, all guns blazing at the other end, you can just do what you want to do at this end. And Kerry batted very well, to be fair.
Will, you covered the Stars for a couple of years in the Big Bash and got to see sort of Maxwell at close quarters day in, day out. Like, and obviously we cover him closely as well, but we're perhaps not as impartial as you might be. I mean, there have been a lot of people around the game in England following these domestic comps who've been waiting for him to basically take over world cricket. It feels like this might be, I don't know, maybe a bit of a line in the sand moment for him.
Yeah, he's been a funny player, hasn't he? Because you watch him bat and you're like, I do want to watch you bat for more than about 20 minutes. Can you stop just getting out after that like short period of time? I mean, he did it last night. We got that full 2-hour experience or whatever it would have been, coming in quite early. And you're kind of worried a bit for him when he was coming in at, what, 70-odd for five. And you're thinking, God, if you know, don't get out reverse sweeping a Rashid Googly or whatever like you did in the T20s. Please don't do that. I mean, but the thing is, he just played so differently to everyone else last night. And it's so uniquely him. It was basically like, it was a Butler innings. Like, Butler, they're the same, they're such similar players in terms of talent and, you know, skill set and the way they can play, but Butler's just done it that much more consistently. We've had the Butler experience 10 times in, what's he got, 10 ODI 100, something like that? We've had that 10 times from him, whereas Maxwell, it's kind of incredible he's only learned twice, but I really hope that now, preferably when we're not on deadline, he can do that.
Oh, that was a shambles. I'm sure all three of us were in the same boat. It was an absolute shambles, rewriting. Speaking of finishers, we've got Joe Harmon, who's the editor of Wisden Cricket Monthly, and Dean Wilson from The Mirror, who are trying to chase down this target of 154 for the Cricket Writers Club. We've got about 25 to get in two overs. It might be slightly beyond us here. But anyway, Jeff, that's the update from here. It's been good to catch up with you at about 3:30 in the morning, and I think it was worthwhile just laying a marker that we're not going to leave it. We're not going to leave it till next week to talk about Maxi. He deserves our attention immediately.
Can I give you a couple of little numbers that
please,
I found interesting?
Please do.
One day internationals where a team has been 5-73 or worse, no one's ever chased 300 from that position before, ever. It's never happened. So last night was the first time that's ever happened. They've been, from that position or worse, there have been 42 times that a team has chased and won from that position, but 32 of those have been scores of like under 150.
Right.
So like, no, you just don't get over 200 from there, from that position. That Michael Bevan game at the MCG against New Zealand is one of the very few where they chased 248 from a worse position than that. But the previous best was Zimbabwe, actually, against New Zealand, who chased 274, I think it was, when Heath Streak came in and smashed 70 down the order. Nobody had got close to 300 from that position ever. So what we saw last night was, it wasn't just something great, it was something unique in terms of what Maxwell and Carey were able to do together, you know, thanks to a couple of little errors from England that certainly helped.
Nicely summed up. Dean Wilson's just hit two big sixes. Suddenly we're at 1-4, 2-7, and we're going to win the bloody game of cricket. Dan Norcross has raced over. Dan's been watching us play today for the Cricket Writers, and he was watching Maxi last night as well. You've got a reflection too.
Oh, he was just fantastic, wasn't he? I just love the way he smashed the first ball of every over for six and then insouciantly pushed it down a ground for a single. I mean, this was a different Glenn Maxwell from the Glenn Maxwell we've seen in the three T20s and the two one-dayers. It was glorious to watch. And thank God Jofra Archer overstepped to Alex Carey, or we may never have seen that.
I said the same thing. We can thank Jofra Archer pretty much for everything last night, can't we?
Oh, yeah. My God, we can. But what a great series as well. Who would have thought? Like, just a bilateral three-match series. It was brilliant. Full of incident. It was great. There was some kind of... So it was weirdly predictable that Australia were going to win a game that they were completely out of, having completely bottled three games that they were totally bossing. But I've got to go shortly, but I've just got to tell you, and this is for the Australian listeners, because Aussies get a bad rap for like not walking and playing the game hard. Well, I've witnessed something extraordinary today. I've witnessed the chief cricket correspondent of the London Evening Standard, Will McPherson, not walk when he was bowled. Now, he ain't WG Grace, I'm telling you that, right? He's about half his weight and half his height, and he's got about a tenth of the talent. And he did not walk when he was bowled. It was scandalous. That's how the English play cricket.
It was only right after the opposing side's opening bat nicked off twice and didn't walk. But anyway, I think we're going to win. That's all that matters. Jeff, best we sign off here, and I watched the last couple of overs. How's that sound?
Lovely to chat to you, and I'm glad that we could share the inevitable phone call we were going to have anyway with the listeners.
Okay, let's chat later in the week for story time. Catch you later.
It's a final word. Jeff Lemon, Adam Collins, and in spirit, Glenn Maxwell. See ya.